Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars. As we deal with the boxing news and we have interviews, legend tales, and boxing history, and coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, Aaron, hello. And I just want to start off the show by wishing everybody out there a happy Memorial Day weekend. For those of you listening out of the country, it's one of our big holidays. We salute all those soldiers who have given the ultimate sacrifice, given their lives to help us remain free, and it's a big holiday weekend. So it's kind of early this year. People are kind of like, man, it's Memorial Day weekend already with the lockdown and everything else that's going on. But here we are, and we're ready to take on a holiday weekend. Let's see what happens. If it rains, if it stops raining, put it that way. Especially nice Monday, at least around here.
Yeah, well, you know, with this holiday weekend during this here COVID-19 pandemic, things are starting to open up a bit, but like we all the time say, Bob, you still have to protect yourself at all times. This thing is deadly, and it could circumvent back around, so we have to be very vigilant and protect ourselves at all times. But, Bob, let's look at some of the information to see if things are changing around the world as we begin to open up.
Well, you know, we're still at 213 countries. You know, that's where we've been, but we topped 5 million cases this week, 5,029,942 worldwide, and the worldwide death total, 326,159. Well, now you look at the U.S., we have just over 1.5 million cases reported, 1,592,254, and fatalities at 95,440. Pennsylvania, you know, with some of the state, part of the states opening up, other parts are still in the red zone. As of Friday, yesterday at 12 noon, there are 66,258 cases in the state and approaching 5,000 deaths on our own. It's 4,984. Schuylkill County is still busy, too, and we want to bring that out also. 560 cases in Schuylkill County. Now, the surprising number is that's plus 12 just from Thursday into Friday. And there's 26 deaths that have been recorded in the county. That's 12 more than we had last week. And Pottsville is still a hot spot, too. They went up to 131 cases now. That's 5 of an increase from Thursday to Friday and 25 for the week. So it jumped last week from like 53 cases, now 25. But again, Pottsville is still one of those places that, you know, are still showing up, too. So it's all over. It's you never know where it's going to pop up, and just be careful again. You know, one of those things, when you go get gasoline, wash your hands and use gloves and get some disposable gloves and throw them away when you're done using them and all the other things you can possibly do to protect yourself, because you don't know where it's hiding and you can get it just like that.
Yeah, it's really something. But, you know, as we travel the world to look at this COVID-19 and what's going on in the numbers, but things are definitely changing, and this country's trying to get back on the move again. And, you know, boxing's trying to get back on the move again. So let's go, you know, the Nevada Athletic Commission are hearing things. Let's talk about that, Bob.
We're going around the world, man. I got a couple places to talk about.
Let's talk about, you know, things that are just opening up so we can go,
right,
you know, keep COVID-19 in its place, and then we'll take that trip around the world, you know?
Right. But what we got now, Mexico, we'll start there. They have a match scheduled for tonight, but they moved it now to next Saturday night, the 30th. They were talking about a 10-round super welterweight clash between the former world champion Carlos Molina and Michy Muno. Is also on that card, Eric Walker, he's a super welterweight, 20-2, taking on Nestor Fernando Garcia, 23-20-1. That's going to take place as of now in Pátzcuaro, Michoacán, in Mexico. Again, these are going to be no fans in attendance and all the other protocols we've been speaking of. And other dates, too, in Mexico, they're talking about every weekend in June, starting on the 6th, and it'll be WBO Super Bantam World Champion Emmanuel Navarrete will be fighting. These are going to be broadcast by Azteca TV. We also have Luis Neri is scheduled for the month, and towards the end of the month, Miguel Burchelt also, too. So some world champions will be there fighting the next couple of weekends in Mexico. Also next weekend, the Dominican Republic, they'll have that fight, Norberto Jimenez versus Elias Aquino, and that's actually going to be a sanctioned fight. That's a WBA Feder Latin super flyweight matchup also. And just another note, too, we were talking about that June 12th fight out in Denari, Poland, Condry, Poland, and we were saying it was Mario Zvok, the big heavyweight, taking on Kevin Johnson. But also this week, it was just added that WBC World Female Super Welterweight Champion, Iga Piekarska. She's 13-1, will take on Karina Kapinska, who's 13-32-4. And again, these are fights that are coming up that we're starting to see some actual fights that are being, you know, penned in, not penciled in anymore. They're in pen. But, yeah, let's go to Nevada, too. There's a couple of big things happening in Nevada. Now, they're having a meeting on Wednesday, the 27th. That's next Wednesday. That'll be the Nevada State Athletic Commission. And they're going to be meeting with officials from Top Rank and ESPN. Because they're looking at putting on events for coming up in June. They're looking at a Tuesday, a Thursday, and a Saturday. That'll be the 9th, the 11th, and the 13th. And that'll be at one of the MGM properties in Las Vegas. And again, it's going to be on ESPN. We're thinking that the 13th is going to be Shakur Stevenson. He's been talked about. Everything kind of depends on what happens with that meeting on Wednesday, because the big part of that is they want to do a 14-day pre-fight lockdown period. So if you're looking at the dates, you're seeing that, man, next week you're going to have to start locking these guys down wherever they're going to be in Vegas. That's actually some good news that we have that happening. And then,
people coming from the hot zones, such as New Jersey and New York and places that the COVID-19 is real hefty,
right.
You know, you wonder, because the traveling, they haven't lifted that travel restriction in a 14-day period. If you're coming from one of these places, it was said before, is that you should quarantine yourself. So, hey, the Nevada Athletic Commission has to look at these things, along with doing state and local and federal regulations that govern this pandemic. So if you have a fighter from New Jersey traveling to fight in Las Vegas, like you said, his whole team somehow got to quarantine himself for 14 days. This is what the rigs from the Fed was saying, and most of the states have picked up on it, and local governments. So those things are to look at. Now, we talk about the UFC. The UFC, when they did their fight in Florida, some people have come down with COVID-19 that was working on that show. So it's a lot to think about. And the reports are saying the UFC and Dan White, they had protocols set up that they filed with the state commission, and they didn't meet all of those things, such as interviews and stuff in the ring. So that, too, is to be looked at, and that is on the Nevada agenda. And I think that it would be only right for public safety is for them to ask Dana White, how come all the protocols were not followed with the TV crews and all of that for public safety and public concern? And to open up Vegas in the same protocol is not followed. There's a lot to be looked at when people come down with this COVID-19 from being at those events, Bob.
Right. Now, there's a lot to think about, and there's a lot on the table as far as even with the property itself. While they're talking again, the MGM properties, but you know, how do you really work that around too? But with the casinos,
yeah,
and everything else happening out in Vegas, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, well, if you remember, we reported last week that Nevada casinos had a 7-day period where they had to have some type of plan, such as social distancing, certain amount of people. I think it was three people sitting at the different poker tables and stuff like that. You know, what will event look like? What are the protocols for the event? Is it going to be no audience and just the officials and the participants? So in that hearing, this is going to be interesting to look to see how they go. Now, the UFC has Mark Ratner, who is the former chief executive of Nevada Athletic Commission, who heads the UFC. So those protocols that were set up were definitely on the mark and on the money, were set up by a true professional, Mark Ratner. In New Jersey now for the holidays, Bob, New Jersey is opening up. They start taking the Hard Rock and those casinos start taking room reservations for the up-and-coming holiday.
Okay, right. Great. Good. Good. I know the beaches, some beaches are open in Jersey and some haven't opened yet, too. But, again, yeah, we got this big holiday weekend and people are itching to be doing things when we get out. But hey, we got one more thing for Nevada before we get our guests on and everything else that we have lined up. Let me also just mention that the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame has postponed their 2020 induction weekend ceremonies until next year, till the summer of 2021. It was going to be at the Red Rock Hotel on August 7th and 8th. And a couple of guys you were familiar with are in that class, Aaron, James Toney, Julian Jackson. And also we have Andre Ward, Clarence Adams, Fernando Vargas, Mark Johnson, Azuma Nelson, Danny Lopez, and Jose Luis Castillo are getting in from the fighter side. And on the other side, is Jose Suleiman will be honored, Carlos Padilla, Lorenzo Fertitta, and Sammy Macias. Mayfield.
Wow.
So,
great class.
Yeah, great class, but have to wait till next year to get inducted. So we're seeing that a lot as far as the Hall of Fame ceremony. Because one of the things is you look and say, well, that's August, but we're going to be doing fights in June, you know. But the big thing that they were talking about this week is those weekends are really meet and greets, a lot of handshaking, a lot of, you know, close contacts and stuff. And they don't feel that we're ready to do that yet, at least Nevada's feeling that way. So, you know, even though we're having the fights, but these weekends that we're looking at as far as the Hall of Fame stuff and other events, they're still on hold.
Yeah, well, you know, I know in the state of North Carolina, they said, yeah, you can hold an event, but they put a number on how many people can attend it, you know, 10
right.
or 20. So can you do an event with 10 to 20 people in the gathering for social distance, and then the number can be gathered? So it's something to look at, and we have to look and see what Nevada, what's their rules for social gatherings, how many people can meet, and that looks at how the event can be held in those protocols, Bob. But, you know, the WBA have released their COVID-19 safety protocols, as well as the WBC has released their safety protocols that they're looking at to govern. Remember, we reported, Bob, just last week or so, where they would have some of their officials probably in a different room or at home, and they would judge the fight from there. So there's quite a bit going on, quite a thing to look at, but there's a lot of things in the news, such as Mike Tyson, too.
And Shannon Briggs. We've been talking about Shannon Briggs for a while. Yeah, they want to get together. And then Harrisfield still wants to fight Tyson, too. So Tyson's getting all kind of comers willing to go after him. And you know, the big thing is WBC, Mauricio Suleiman, he said, yeah, we'd rank him if it was a real fight. You know, the Shannon Briggs thing, they're joking around, Briggs was, you know. But if WBC said, if it's a real deal, which we want to do with Tyson, we could rank him. So there you go.
Yeah, you know, they have a special clause in the rules and regulations. It's called a championship clause, a champion's clause, being that he was undisputed heavyweight champion and he held the title for a long time. And they can interact with that stuff that they have in their rigs. And that's what Mr. Sulo, and why not? You know, if Mike Tyson, if he passes the physicals now, he's going to have to go through some tests.
Well, yeah.
That they have to senior fighters. If he passed the test and he wants to do it, go for it. You know, I know that he was saying things for charity, that he wants to do those exhibitions for charity and raise money for charity. I think that's an excellent thing for Mike Tyson. And what will happen is people will see a side of Mike Tyson that Mike Tyson hasn't shown people doing that charity stuff. You know, Mike Tyson's a really good guy in his heart. And when people get to look at that better side of him, more people will fall in love with him and more people are going to watch to see what he says, what he's doing, how is he trying to help people in the boxing game. Mike Tyson can, you know, this pay scale, he helped along with Muhammad Ali, Don King, he helped lift that pay scale of how fighters are getting paid today, man. They're millions and millions of dollars for this big event. You know, Mike Tyson helped set that pay scale. And can he outdo Anthony Joshua, who's packing him in, and, you know, and lift the pay scales for all of these guys? But you talk about Anthony Joshua. Hearn says, nah, he don't think he'll get in criticism if he promotes Tyson's comeback. I don't think so. I think if people watch him and see him and he goes in there and they see what they want to watch. And Mike has always been a crowd pleaser, not a crowd teaser. He is Mr. Excitement. One thing you know about Mike Tyson, when he comes in, you're going to see a fight. He's going to win by grand style and grand fashion, or else he's going to get beat by grand style and grand fashion. And one thing you're going to see out of Mike Tyson, you're going to see some action, and you're going to see bombs away, baby.
You know that.
Hey, and you're talking about old things, Bob. Even ESPN this weekend is going in their library of hours that they have when Mike Tyson was coming up on ESPN. They're going to have Mike Tyson weekend or something like that they're doing. So, man, this is great. This is great.
It is good. also, before we want to also talk about the women fights too that were postponed that are coming up, as far as Cecilia Brakus and the fight with Jessica McCaskill. You know, that would be Brakus's 25th consecutive title defense. You know, breaking Joe Lewis's record whenever she gets in that fight. They also have Clarissa Shields and Eve Marie DeCaro, the champion from Canada. That fight, was going to take place just a couple weeks ago, and that's getting back on the table, as well as the Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor. So those are three big women's fights that we were looking forward to that are starting to get talked up again, too. So we'll see them maybe July, maybe August, too. She was talking August.
Yeah, in August. And we do have our guests hanging in the queue, Bob. Yeah. So, you know, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame trainer and our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Hey, look, when we talk about COVID-19 and we're talking about all of these chants, this is this person I'm getting ready to bring into the show is a champ of a champ of a champ. Derek Jefferson, the former WBO champion. Welcome into the World Boxing Review radio show, Derek. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, it's a slow process. How you doing, Aaron?
Well, man, I'm doing good. You know, we're also on the show with Henry Halftop and Bob Murray here. We were praying for you in this situation that came down on you. You were directly affected by COVID-19, the pandemic. And Derek, talk a little bit about that, how did it come about, and what happened, man? People want to know, man. For a champion like you, always looking good, smelling sweet, man, tell us about it, man.
Well, first of all, you know, I just want to, you know, thank you guys, man, for, you know, sending your prayers up. You know, they were definitely answered. You know, I was in a tough situation. But, you know, I had this cough. you know, just wouldn't go away. And I'm like, you know, it's a little something different about this car, so let me get checked out. I went into the hospital. My son drove me, you know, where a team was waiting at the Beaumont Hospital. You know, they said, you know, I just told them I had a cough. You know, maybe they didn't give me something to take home. And they took my oxygen level. They didn't tell me what it, you know, what it came back. So they said, we're going to give you a little something to relax you. And I woke up almost a month later, you know, in a coma. Yeah, I woke up like a month later, and I'm like, you know, why is my hand strapped up to this, you know, to the bed? And I'm like, you know, do y'all usually do this just for a cough? And the doctors, you know, it was a time back, you know, back in the day where you come out of surgery, you know, your loved ones are there to greet you, and they tell you what you've been through. You know, with this COVID, you know, no one's allowed in the hospital, your family members. So when I woke up, I'm like, wow. You know where I'm at. You know, I'm strapped down. I said, man, you know, my wife must have finally put me in the crazy house. You know, because I didn't have nobody there to tell me. You know, I didn't have no one to tell me anything. You know, the nurses would come in and, you know, I guess protocol, they couldn't tell me anything. They said, well, wait till your doctor comes. So I'm saying, well, where the doctor at? And why y'all got me strapped down? You know, y'all not making me feel relaxed, last thing I can remember. And, you know, doctor came in, explained things to me. You know, I've been in a coma for 3.5-4 weeks. I stopped breathing. The machine was breathing for me for a few days. You know, my mom, you know, I like to give, you know, take my hat off to my mom who made all the right calls, because she did get a call from the doctor saying that, you know, I was going to die, you know, and you know, they didn't think that I was going to make it. She said, well, you know, y'all don't know Derrick Jefferson. That's my son. You know, he's a fighter. So, you know, I pulled on through, and, you know, I continued to stay in the hospital about a week after that. So, you know, it was a tough fight. You know, I'd rather be in the ring, you know, with Tyson and Vander at the same time than deal with this COVID. So, yeah, so, you know, I'm out, and, you know, I just got discharged from the home nurse, so I'm just kind of independent. You know, they send me home on a walker. So, you know, I'm just trying to get my mobility back. Yeah, I'm getting my, you know, trying to get my mobility back because, you know, the COVID, it eats away at your muscles. So I lost like 40 pounds. And, you know, it's pretty tough. You know, it's just a pretty tough experience.
Now, how, you know, how does it affect your body? I know from you being in training camp with me, you're able to express the way that you're feeling and things like that very
right.
well. How does your internal organ, how does it feel? You know, like your lungs and stuff, does it?
Well, my lungs, right. Well, you know, the doctors told my, you know, expressed to my mother that my lungs were like glass because they had a tube down my lungs, so it would take some months to recover as far as my lungs repairing itself. But, you know, when I wake up and I try to do minimum exercise, you know, it's pretty tough. You know, I can tell that my lungs have been damaged. And, you know, fatigue was setting in, you know, and it just forces you to lay down. But, you know, they want you to lay down. They want you to get up and move around, walk around. So, you know, that's what my day consists of. You know, a lot of rest, you know, taking the right food and, you know, just an exercise, whatever I can do. You know, it's a very slow process, you know.
Did you feel anything where are you aware of memory coming back, like when you were laying in the bed?
That's a good question.
Do you have any recollection?
Yeah, because I was in. Yeah, I was in and out of my dreams. Yeah, that's one thing. When I was in the coma, I was dreaming things. And, you know, when I finally came to, one of the first people that I talked to was my son. You know, he's a standout All-American football player. And I had a dream that he had signed with Purdue. But I couldn't really decipher reality from the dream. So when I talked to him, I said, man, you know, great job. You had 5 sacks this last week. You know, you signed with Purdue. He said, no, Dad, I'm still a junior in high school.
Right.
And I said, no, I just seen you on TV. But I was in my dream. So So, you know, during the coma. So I had to take time out to decipher, you know, what was the dream and what was reality, because I had no idea that I was in a coma for that long. So he just, he's somewhat of intimidated. He just gave the phone to his mom and said, yeah, I hope Dad be all right. You know, he's talking a little cuckoo there. So, you know, he didn't know. But
You know, going through something like that, in a coma for that long and stuff like that, not working and stuff like that, I noticed financial hardships and stuff like that probably fall on you, you know what I mean? But we have a guest who specializes in debt things, and he knows the rules of this COVID-19, and I'm going to bring him in because he's an attorney. Donald Bell, welcome to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Donald, did you hear this? And how does that fit in with the stuff that you're doing with counseling people with rules and things with debt? And what can you say to this young man?
Well, good morning. Again, thank you for having me on your show. How you doing, sir? Well, the first thing that, you know, we would do is we would get an assessment of, you know, whether or not Mr. Jefferson owns any property, where does he stand with his mortgage payments, is he working, was he working before he got sick, did he own a business or did he have just a regular job, is he receiving some type of retirement income? So we got to assess the whole picture in order to determine what specific help he needs. And then we're going to look at, you know, like where he lives, because in various states, you know, there may be various programs out there to assist him financially.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What kind of programs? He's in Michigan. What kind of programs? And you're in Maryland, Donald. What kind of programs are out there that you can talk and explain some of those type of programs, you know, so some ideas.
Very happy to do that. Very happy to do that. Number one, I'm going to refer back to this, to March 27th when the CARES Act went into effect. The CARES Act was signed into law on March 27th. Some of the major provisions of the CARES Act as it refers to individuals. Number one, if you have a mortgage and you are directly impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, which Mr. Jefferson was because he had the corona illness, you can request a forbearance from your mortgage company. Now, a forbearance is an agreement between the mortgage company and the borrower where the borrower does not have to make mortgage payments. And what the CARES Act says, it can be for 6 months. And if you're still impacted after 6 months, you can request an additional 6 months. And it actually talks about days, 180 days, which is 6 months. So if Mr. Jefferson has a mortgage, then he could request from his mortgage company, if he has a federally backed loan, to basically suspend his mortgage payments for almost a year. So that'll be a game changer. Now, what happens after the forbearance period ends? Well, there are regulations that just came out over the last 2 weeks that says, hey, the borrower doesn't have to pay that money right back once they go into forbearance. The mortgage companies, if it's a federally backed loan, can put that money on the back of the loan. So basically, after 6 months, if Mr. Jefferson is not back on his feet, if he and his family are not able to make mortgage payments, they can request another 6 months. And then after that 6 months, they have to start back making payments. So after a year, they have to start back making payments, but they only have to start back making their regular payments. And the payments that they miss, what the regulations say is they can put those payments on the back of the loan. So once the mortgage is about to be paid off, they can put it on the back of the loan. So that is a major provision in the CARES Act for people who are directly impacted. And based upon what I've heard Mr. Jefferson say, if he has a mortgage and if it's federally backed, because two-thirds of the mortgages in this country are federally backed, he can request a forbearance agreement from his mortgage company.
That's the, I didn't mean to cut you off, and that's the CARES Act, because I'm writing all this down.
Yes, sir.
And what the
CARES Act says is they must give it to you. So they don't have a choice. If you have a federally backed loan, then your mortgage company must give you a forbearance. So that's one of the major provisions. Next thing.
I want to ask you this question. Does the CARE Act cover like car loans or anything like that? That has to deal with car loans that you have, transportation, or just a regular loan that you may have with a loan company, with other things like that.
Well, I don't think the CARES Act speaks to car loans and things of that nature. But depending on what state you're in, and I can look up Michigan very quickly. But here in Maryland, our governor signed an executive order that says during this pandemic, car companies cannot repossess vehicles. So for that period of time that, you know, you're directly impacted, the car company cannot come and pick up your car because you can't make the payments.
Wow.
That's good information.
Yeah. And, you know, what else do you think that can directly help him from the knowledge that you have about this COVID-19 and this CARE Act? Now, why, and our listening audience, because there's people maybe out there listening that find themselves in this predicament, and maybe they can, you know, get some advice and whatever.
Okay. So what are the other provisions of the CARES Act? Because many state governors shut down their economies and basically said, hey, everybody has to stay at home. I know Michigan's governor has been in the news, much like Maryland's governor has been in the news, because she was one of the first people who came in and said, hey, this thing is running rampant. Let's shut it down. So when she shut it down, a lot of people had to go home. And when they're home, a lot of people, they can't work from home. There are some people who have jobs that can work from home, but a lot of people can't work from home. So there are a lot of people who had to apply for unemployment. And what the CARES Act did was, the CARES Act, number one, it expanded unemployment, because generally to apply for unemployment, you have to have a regular W-2 job. But there are those of us out here like myself and like maybe many boxers who are basically self-employed.
Right.
We're basically either independent contractors or we own our own business. So what the CARES Act did was expanded unemployment for those people, and it also provided an additional $600 a week that the government will give to the state so the state can provide it to the individuals. So that was a game changer for a lot of people, because they can apply for the regular state unemployment, which may be $300 or $400 a week, and they can get an additional $600 a week because of the CARES Act. That's almost $1,000 a week that many people can get. And I think that goes up through the end of either June or July, if I'm not mistaken. So I would encourage people like Mr. Jefferson, because particularly if you were working before the pandemic, and if your wife was working and maybe she can't work anymore because she has to care for you, to strongly look into applying for unemployment. It's a benefit, and with the CARES Act, there's an additional increase of $600 a week, and that's national. So that could greatly aid in paying for food and paying for, you know, utilities. I mean, the basic necessities that everybody needs in order to survive. So as a recap, number one, if you got a mortgage, call the mortgage company and request a forbearance. Number two, if you're out of work and you're out of work because of COVID-19, go to your state's whatever state you're in and look at the website for unemployment and apply for unemployment. You'll be getting the state's unemployment plus the federal government with the CARES Act add an additional $600 a week. And you'll probably get back pay, so you'll probably go back to April 1st. So
okay.
that's very much needed money. And the other thing
right.
is with the CARES Act, there was some stimulus money for people who made where people got, you know, a $1,200 stimulus check from the federal government. For individuals, $2,400 for a married couple, and an additional $500 for every child that lived in the house under the age of 16. So Mr. Jefferson said, hey, he had a kid that was a junior in high school. So there is stimulus money, and you don't have to apply for that. If you make under a certain amount of money, a married couple, I think it's $150,000 a year, then you may be entitled to stimulus money. And that's money that the government is just giving to people because of the pandemic. So that's three sources of assistance that's coming directly from the CARES Act.
Right. Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, thank you for that information. Well received. Are there any programs out there for foundations, like nonprofit foundations? You know, if you have your 501c3, but you wasn't able to, you know, perform up under, you know, the 501, your mission, your purpose, because you were affected by COVID and the shutdown, you know, and if you had employees working for you, are there any programs?
Well, that's a very good question.
Foundation?
Within the CARES Act, there was a provision, and it's all over the news. It's called the Payment Protection Plan, the PPP plan, and it applies for for-profit organizations as well as for nonprofit organizations. And what the government did in the CARES Act was they wanted people, you know, people who were in business, like myself, they wanted us to keep the folks on the payroll. Because most people in this country work for small businesses or they work for nonprofits. So you could apply for the Payment Protection Program.
Payment Protection Program.
Yeah, the Payment Protection Program. And it's offered through the Small Business Administration, the SBA, okay? And you can go through your local bank. And it's not a very difficult process. The application is only about 2 or 3 pages long, and there's limited financial information that you have to provide. And I've had clients that have applied for the Payment Protection Program, and this is the great thing about it. Number one, from what I read, the loans provide interest rates of 1%, which is almost like free money. You don't really see that. Number two, if you keep your people on payroll and you use 75% of the proceeds from the loan to pay your payroll, then the government will look at that as a grant, and you don't have to pay it back.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Because, you know, I run my I have a nonprofit foundation, the Derrick Jefferson Foundation. And I have a few employees, and, of course, by me being in the hospital and, you know, not being able to run my program, you know, I wasn't able to keep up the payments to my, you know, employees. So I just wanted to know, were there any kind of program, which you just explained?
Well, hopefully you have bank accounts with a local bank that are business accounts. And what the provisions of the CARES Act, and the Payment Protection Program says is, hey, so long as your business was in existence as of February of 2020, because they wanted to exclude the scamsters who would just go out and start a business and then go out and say, hey, I'm going to get this money here. So long as your business was in existence, then you can apply for this loan, okay, and they wanted you to apply through whoever you have a business relationship with, like whatever bank you have. And it's an SBA loan. And here's the thing, because I've dealt with SBA loans and SBA and the Small Business Administration. Generally, when you get a Small Business Administration loan, they want you to put up collateral. They want you to put a loan on your house. They want something as collateral. These loans don't require that. They're just a loan from the government to your business. So I would strongly encourage you to get in contact with your bank, because there's probably a loan officer at your bank, and there's going to be some information they're going to need from you, like payroll information, maybe some tax returns.
Right.
And they can put in for this payment protection program, and you can probably get it.
Go
because
from
I've,
there, right.
I've heard that people have been funded within a week. And you can get your business back up and going.
Thank you. Thank you for that information.
Yes.
I definitely will be checking to that right after the holiday.
Yes. Yes.
Be a sharp guy, man. What's your name again?
First name is Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D. Last name is Bell, B-E-L-L. And I'm located here in Greenbelt, Maryland.
Greenbelt, Maryland. Okay.
Yes.
How's the weather?
Right outside of D.C., about 10 miles outside of Washington, D.C.
Okay, my daughter lives in Washington, D.C. No, yeah, she lives in D.C. She works for the Department of Defense.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
10 miles. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So right here in beautiful Maryland.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you give Derek your telephone number and your address and stuff like that? If Derek chooses and he wants to call you up and talk to you, let it happen.
Yeah, I'll be in D.C. Yeah, I'll be in D.C. Probably in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then we can, grab some lunch or something.
Sure.
I'll give you a call. What's your number?
Sure.
Unless you want
to give
you
this. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you the office number, 301.
Okay.
614-0535.
And then I'll call the office number. Just leave my number on the voicemail. You got one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Donald. Okay, got you, man. It was a pleasure talking to you, man. Thanks for that information.
Okay, all right. So if you have any issues, just give me a call, because I have resources. I have other attorneys, and I have other, like CPAs that I work with are experts at this payment protection program, and they can probably guide you and assist you with getting your loan through, because what I've been told by some of these CPAs is it's better to go through a smaller bank than a larger bank. It sounds counterintuitive, but a lot of times the smaller banks are getting them done because they have a streamlined process versus the larger banks. So,
is Bank of America considered a large bank?
That's considered one of the largest banks in the world. So
okay.
So they're like smaller local banks that people have had a much more success with. So the first thing I would do is, since you already have a pre-existing relationship with Bank of America, I would call their business center first thing on Tuesday morning. And let them know, like, hey, you know, I got this nonprofit and I need to apply. And, you know, let's see what's out there. I'll also do is I have Aaron's information here. I'll do quick research on Michigan to see if there are some programs that are in the state of Michigan. I was trying to look it up as I was talking to you here on my phone. But here in the state of Maryland, our state government offers, like, various grants and programs. And in D.C., D.C. offers various grants and programs for nonprofits. So a good friend of mine runs a nonprofit, and he got a grant. And grants are money that you don't have to pay back to keep his nonprofit afloat. So I'll do some research for you. And
thank you.
And I'll see if I can get, an email address from Mr. Soul and send it over to you.
Will do. Thank you.
All right.
Derek, the best thing to do is text me the email, your email address, and
right,
I'll get Donald.
The website.
Yeah.
And he can look it over, yeah.
And then I'll send you my, with the email address, I'll send you my cell phone number. That way you can call me directly.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks, Donald.
So, Yeah, we like to thank people for tuning into the World Boxing Review radio show, man. This is excellent, and this is what all of us are about. Bob Murray, any questions for Derek or Donald Bell?
Well, hey, good guys. It was just fascinating to be listening to what you had to say. And, Derek, man, we're just really happy that you're on the show with us, and hope Attorney Bell's going to be able to help you out. But pretty okay, Don, we talked a little bit last week. I maybe want to reiterate again. We were talking about people who might be facing tax foreclosures, tax sales and stuff like that, any kind of benefits that they could look for.
Well,
you say kind of go state to state, though.
Yeah. So there really aren't very many benefits with the CARES Act that talked about people who are facing tax sales. However, during this pandemic, what the IRS put out, a guidelines that said they weren't going to be actively collecting and actively doing tax sales during the pandemic. Many of the state governors said, hey, during this pandemic, we're not going to allow any foreclosures or any evictions or anything of that nature to move forward. So, In my opinion, I believe most people, no matter where they're at, they're pretty safe at this point in time from those collections. However, many economies are starting to open back up. And so what I fear is that, you know, people are still going to be directly impacted by Corona and by COVID. And, you know, it's going to be business as usual for the IRS and for state governments as far as taxes are concerned. So what I would recommend is, you strongly consider talking with an attorney in your area, because there are things out there that you can do. Number one, if you haven't filed taxes, you know, you got to get the taxes filed. Number two, you need to get a professional, someone who's competent, someone who's licensed in your state, whether that's a certified public accountant or an attorney, to assist you and dealing with the IRS or your state government as far as the taxes are concerned. Because there may be programs out there, like you may be able to do what's called an offering compromise, where you guys work out basically a deal where you'll pay like a certain portion of the debt and maybe they'll forgive a certain portion of the debt. Or you may want to come and talk to someone like me, and maybe we strongly look at putting you in bankruptcy. Because once you go into bankruptcy, the bankruptcy code provides various protections where even the IRS can't take your house, they can't take your property, they can't go into your bank account and take your money. So there are programs out there and there are people out there that can help you. I would just advise you to, in my opinion, hire somebody local. I'm always a proponent of, whenever you're going to deal with someone when it comes to like your taxes or your house or something like that, you want to be able to walk into their door and look them in the eyes and kind of assess their credibility. So I'm always a big proponent of hiring somebody local, hiring somebody that's licensed in your state, and hiring someone that you really feel comfortable with that's going to get the job done.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, Derek, you know, we want to ask you, how are you feeling now, you know, and stuff like that? Do you have a telephone number or website or something set up, Derek, if people want to donate to help you, or how can people get in touch with you, Derek? So people can.
Not yet, but you know, I had Cash App. I don't know if that'll help, but you know, $
right.
Derek Jefferson One. But no, I don't have a website, Derek Jefferson Foundation. That's the only one I have set up right now. And
okay,
just have to set it up or go through you.
Okay, yeah, and whoever calls and gets in touch with me, you know. It's easy to find us. They can go to World Boxing Review Radio Show,
right,
and email either that, and we'll get the emails and stuff over to Derek.
Yeah, and get it.
Yeah. Derek, what do you want to say to people, man, that don't think this thing is for real? And so what kind of encouragement would you give to people, Derek,
Right, COVID-19 is a very nasty disease. I'm dealing with something that I never really had to deal with, even, running 5 miles in the morning, doing 10 rounds on heavy bag. Of course, even sparring Mike Tyson was easier than this COVID, because it takes away a lot of your lung capacity. It eats away at your muscles. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Aaron. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
I just got to hear myself twice, okay. And, right now, the hardest thing I have to deal with now is the fatigue, later on in the evening. As I get up in the morning, I have a certain amount of energy that I can be able to, work with, and I have to build it up, week by week. So, I'm like good from maybe 8 o'clock in the morning to like 4, once 5 or 6 o'clock, I get really fatigued and have to lay down. So, just doing regular physical activities, walking the stairs or, just walking from the living room to my bedroom, causes fatigue and causes me to have shorter breath because of my lungs, Then, one thing I want people to take away is, this is for real. You have to practice social distancing, taking your shoes off at the door because you can track it into your home off your shoes. Keep washing your hands and just stay safe. Wear your mask out in public, practice cleanliness, make it a way of life. Because right now.
Hey, Derek,
Go ahead.
Yeah, Derek, I just want to ask you one more thing, too. How's your family? Are anybody else affected by it, or were you the only one in your immediate family? Is everybody else good?
I have an 18-year-old son, and he was staying with me for a minute. And yeah, he contracted the COVID-19 also, but he didn't really have any symptoms.
Just a
headache, and I took him to get tested. Well, his mother took him to get tested, and he tested positive for the antibody. So it went in, and his body shed it off. So now he's good. So he did have it at one time.
Okay.
No one else in my family. And one thing about the younger folks, they are mainly carriers. They can have, they can test. Go ahead.
So hold on for a second. Let's bring Henry Hascop in, our boxing historian, president of the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Henry. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. I tell you, this segment you had was very, very educational. And first of all, Derek, I am so happy that you're back onto the road to recovery. I know when we first heard it, I'm the guy that actually puts it out to the boxing world, and so many prayers came in. My email box just went off the wall, praying for you. And then they said you were off the ventilator. Then you were back on it again. And man, we just
all true.
Yeah, And I was a big fan of you, especially that wonderful fight you had with Maurice Harris. I mean, holy cow.
How's he doing?
He's doing all right. He still wants a fight, though.
Okay.
Hopefully he don't.
Okay. Yeah.
But giving back to Donald Bell, I mean, I don't know. Are you still on?
Yeah, he's still on. He can hear us. But
a very, very informal, what he was saying and everything. I mean, with the CARE Act and everything like this, I think everybody should know about that. I mean, this guy should be on, you know, big radio and TV shows just telling people what they can do, because people don't know this. I mean, I had no idea this. I was just flabbergasted when I was listening to him talk, and I'm saying, wow, you know, I mean, I'd just like to get permission to put his stuff out there so the boxing world can, you know, I mean, I know over 25 people, you know, that have passed away from this disease, and, you know, I mean, it's you know, and if they know, you know, if I'm going to put this on my Facebook page and everything like this, you know, this whole interview, and if, you know, people out there knew, you know, what we heard today, I mean, they would be relieved of a lot of things, you know, like I said, the mortgage and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you know, I never even knew that. And this guy was phenomenal. Let me tell you, I really enjoyed today's show. And with Derek, of course, you know, coming back to, I mean, he's probably lower in weight now than he was when he was fighting, but he'll get back to you. Yeah, well, you'll get back to your fighting weight pretty soon.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you're still young. You're only about, what, 50, 51 years old or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so God, I always say, you know, when you come through with something like this, God has a plan for you.
That's right.
And, you know, he's not done with you yet. So you're gonna do some good things. And,
yeah, I'm going to keep pushing on. I'm gonna make 100%.
Yeah. Well, you could be a spokesman. You know, I mean, it's, you know, I was listening to you today, and you and, you know, Donald here. I mean, you guys should go around together and do something, because I think people want to hear this. You know what I mean? People want to hear the good side. You know, people, you know, I'm always getting the word that so-and-so
right.
passed away from this disease, so-and-so did that. You were in a coma for over 3 weeks, you know, 4 weeks, and you
right.
came out of it. And look at you now. And, you know, people should hear that, you know.
Thank
so,
you.
So
yeah, well, you
God
know,
bless you.
Aaron, you can have me on the show anytime. You have a direct number to me. So, Aaron, you know, whenever you want me, you need me, you already know. We go way back.
You know, Derek, you always been a gentleman and a scholar, but can, man, punch and fight your rear end off. And you've been in training camps with me many times, training. And I know the character of you. You know, you're a hard worker. You work hard. And you have always been a person who was articulate in speech. You could always express when you were tired in the ring, you come back, how you talk to people, us, to let them know, hey, look, I'm tired, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. You could always express
right.
yourself. And people can
Thank
see
you.
Now that what you went through, how you would be a great spokesman to carry this word to friends and foe alike, what the experience has been like, and it could help empower them. If they do get sick, what they expect and the mindset that they need to come over that. But with 90
right.
seconds left, Derek, we're going to let you say whatever you want for 20 seconds. Then we'll go
yeah,
back
before
to
he does that, I was wondering if Bob Duffy of Ring 8 got a hold of you.
No, not yet.
No? Because yeah, I gave him your phone number. He was supposed to give you a call. Because he said he was he worked a commission when you were fighting and wanted to, you know, help you
New
out.
York? Yeah, he did. Bob. Okay.
Yeah.
He did. I talked to him a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. He talked about a week ago.
Yeah, he had nothing but good things to say about you.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
He all right, it's all yours.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I just,
yeah,
you know,
well,
I just want to thank. Go ahead, Aaron.
Go ahead, Derek. Go ahead.
No, I just
you
want to thank,
show.
You know, all the listeners and, you know, everyone out there. I just want to thank you for all the continuous support and prayers, you know, while I was down. You know, when I got out and I went home, you know, just reading all
you know, well wishes, you know, gave me motivation to, you know, continue to fight the thing called, you know, coronavirus.
We got 3 seconds.
Goodbye.
Thanks for having me on the show, Aaron. Okay. All right, Aaron, you got my number. Let me call. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. Today was indeed something special. And Donald Bell, now we can bring you right in real quick. You want to say something? Mr. Bell?
Oh, I'm still here. Again, I want to thank you for having me on the show. This is a very unique opportunity to provide this information out to the general public. And, you know, I just really appreciate you having me on. If there's anyone that needs my help, no matter where they're at, I'm always willing to talk to them. And if I can't help you, then I'll be happy to find somebody who can help you. You know, I just have a network of people through various organizations that I know. And I'm quite sure if I can't help you, I can find someone that can help you. But just reach out, because there's no need for you to lose your house, or there's no need for you to be going through tax issues with the IRS or your state government or whatever's going on. And there's someone, there are resources out there where you can get help.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Attorney at Law in Maryland and former WBO heavyweight champion of the world, Derek Jefferson. And thank you for tuning in. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, and a radio aficionado, Bob Murray, and a boxing historian that was on Head Half Top. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. Okay, great show. See you guys later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.